The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Would like to take a moment to answer a question that tends to pop up this time of year. We pastors here in the Nashville area had a meeting and we voted on it. The answer to the question, "Mary, did you know?" is yes. She knew. She even has her own song about it, which we chanted as a psalm a little bit ago, which we'll dig back into here in just a second. So it's a lovely song, but to answer the question, yes, she knew. She knew exactly who Jesus was to be, the power that he would hold and the way that he would turn the world upside down, using Luke's own words from the book of Acts. Today, the fourth Sunday of Advent, is reserved for Mary. Mary in her pondering, Mary in her faithfulness, Mary whose life too would be turned upside down. For a moment, Joseph takes the back seat and the spotlight shines on Mary as she is visited by Gabriel. Mary reacts very reasonably to a visit by an angel. She is surprised or maybe afraid, as the angel has to tell her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. Everything's going to be all right. You have found favor with God." The angel goes on to explain that she will conceive, and it's not just going to be a normal child. As any parent knows, their child is not just a normal child. My child is special. My son just turned 2. He is very special. He's the most advanced little child that has ever existed at the age of 2. If I do say so on his behalf. Jesus is no ordinary birth. He will be of God. God's decision to enter into our world in a different way. God who set things in motion, who created life out of nothing, who ordered the chaos, who blessed the generations, who made covenants with the people, who chased after those people with prophets, who longed to be reunited, and so God made a decision to do something different, and that decision is Jesus. He will be great, he will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. This is a lot of hope to place on a child that hasn't even been born yet. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This child is going to change things forever. And as a nod to what God has been up to, the angel continues, You remember your cousin Elizabeth, your older cousin Elizabeth, the one who was said to be barren. She is also with child, who will be John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. He will also have a part to play in this. And then comes one of the most important phrases in all of this story. Mary responds, "How can this be?" To which the angel replies, "Look and see what's happening to Elizabeth. And then, for nothing will be impossible with God." Or rather, "For no word will be impossible with God." Not just nothing, but word. And that translation is important. This phrase comes straight out of the mouth of God in the Old Testament. This story mirrors another, much older, at the foundation of the very covenants. It's to Abraham that these words are first spoken. Abraham referenced by Mary in her own song. Abraham, who's promised a son and a lineage that will outnumber the stars in the sky and the grains of sand. And Abraham, who takes this to heart. And as the years go by and decades go by, doesn't lose faith, but begins to wonder, how is this possible? And then when Sarah reaches the nice young age of 99, God says it's time. And Abraham wonders, how is this possible? He knows how things work. And God says, "For nothing is impossible. No word is impossible with God." Luke will bring this up, this same word, again and again and again. When we gather this evening for worship around the Nativity, it's at the end of the story that Mary will ponder all of these words in her heart. The angels visiting the shepherds who come to Bethlehem to see the Christ child born, the words that they share, she will ponder those in her heart. It's the words of Jesus that will enliven a kingdom long thought dead. He will be taking up the torch from John the Baptist. He will bring about the unfolding kingdom of God, and his words will have power, as he will preach in his first sermon straight out of Isaiah. "The lowly will be lifted up, the oppressed will be set free. This is the year of the Lord's favor." And those words will be embodied by Jesus himself. But I get ahead of the story just a little bit. Let's come back to Mary for just a second. After all, this Sunday is all about her. What are Mary's words, other than "Here I am"? The faithful response, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." After the angel departs and she and Elizabeth have time to talk about this, Mary responds in song. And it's one of the most powerful songs in all of Scripture. It actually echoes one much earlier, the song of Hannah, sung when her son Samuel was born. Samuel, who would become the prophet of kings. Mary's song, the Magnificat, echoes across the generations down to us this morning. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked upon with favor the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." She's proclaiming, using the words of a prophet, acknowledging the majesty of God, God who sets all things in motion, God who remembers the promises, has looked with favor upon one that the world would not even dare to recognize. A young woman on the very edges of society, barely recognizable in the ebb and flow of life until she is betrothed, and certainly not until she bears children. But upon this lowly servant, God's favor will rest. God's mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors and to Abraham and his descendants forever. That's the word of Mary. And it dares to name the very thing that the angel voices, for nothing will be impossible with God. To Mary, a peasant girl, and to Joseph, a carpenter, these words would seem impossible. To the disciples that Jesus would call, these words would seem impossible. To the sharecroppers and landowners who had been driven into debt in the Galilee and surrounding Judea, these words would seem impossible. The proud scattered, the powerful brought down from their thrones, we, the lowly, lifted up, the hungry filled with good things while the rich are sent away empty. Surely these are impossible. We know the way the world works. We know the mechanics of Jerusalem held captive by the mechanics of Rome. We know how empire has ground us into this existence. Surely this is an impossible thing. The very people have cried for generations that God would release them until the hope had started to fade. But now, to a peasant woman in Galilee, of all places, hope is rekindled, and the impossible will be done. Now, this kind of impossible is not quite the revolutions that we might understand in our modern context. Revolutionaries with torches and pitchforks overthrowing the government as it is to replace it with something that looks the exact same, just with different people in charge. This revolution will be different. We pay close attention to the words that Mary sings here. It's the powerful brought down and the lowly lifted up. Not a radical reversal, but a leveling. The proud brought down and the lowly lifted up to the same level, the same playing field. Everything will be reorganized, if you will. This is a biblical vision of Jubilee, where no one has too much and no one has too little, where everyone shares the resources of God. The hungry will be filled with good things and the rich sent away empty because they don't need any more. The hungry need to be filled, and so they are brought together, one long table set, everyone with the same access, everyone with a place. This is the song that Jesus will embody in his ministry. And actually, if you trace out the story in Luke's gospel, it is a leveling of sorts. There's no sermon on the mountain where Jesus is above preaching down to the people. He has a sermon on the plain where he levels with folks, if you will. He has a conversation about blessings and a conversation about woes, a reordering of the way folks approach and understand the world. Jesus will interact with the hungry and the rich alike, and the same calling will be offered to each. Follow me. Participate in this unfolding kingdom. All of these things that Mary sings, all of these words that she ponders, will be embodied in the very Son that she delivers. This song has been set to many different iterations over its history, and it's often set to great hymns or liturgies or litanies. But I often think this would be a better punk rock anthem out of the 80s, maybe set to an Irish rock band. This song has teeth to it. It's not for the faint of heart. It is challenging for us to see how we too might participate in the very ministry that Jesus will embody. But for now, let us ponder. Before we get drawn into the busyness of this evening, we have that rare event where we celebrate Advent 4 in the morning and then reshuffle everything and join together around the manger on Sunday evening. But let's not rush past this. Let's take a page out of Mary's book for just a little while and ponder these words. Words that may seem like an impossibility when we look at our own world and the way things are stacked. Some things just seem impossible. Some change seems like it will never happen. But the same words that the angel spoke to Mary, the same words that God spoke to Sarah, are the same words that are given to us over and over again. For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. Amen.